going. Keep going. It's a blue one. Look, there it is, a blue one. Okay, tomorrow night there is a special Vineyard Distinctives is the particular course that is being held this trimester, and we have to attend these Zoom meetings. Let me tell you, they are worth going to. Tomorrow night at our time, 7 o'clock, Costa Mitchell, who is the former National Director of the Association of Vineyard Churches in South Africa, he is going to be joining us on Zoom. He is an amazing man, and he's going to be talking to us about the vineyard movement historically and today. If you want to know any more about Vineyard, you need to be online. If you want to be encouraged about our church family, you need to be there. If you just want to be blessed, you need to be there. So the website is that tiny little thing down the bottom, the Zoom call, or that QR code. I've actually printed a gazillion QR codes. I'll leave this open down here. If you grab one, and at about 3 minutes to 7 p.m. tomorrow night, you scan this with your computer or your phone or whatever device you have, that will get you into the Zoom. I'm done.
You're not done yet. You're not done yet. We don't select testimony in random. We don't ask around like, you know. So one thing we do testimony is the power of testimony. So in Hebrew, it comes from Hebrew. Testimony is saying, hey God, you did this. Can you do it again? So it's actually declaring to God like, this is so good. Can you do it again? And then John in Revelation pick it up. He say the testimony of Christ is a spirit of prophecy. So when there's a testimony, there is a prophecy in that. So there's a prophetic promise. So Melanie just declared to us she has a miracle child, and he's pretty good. So if you need a miracle, Melanie is not going to supply the miracle, but she's going to pray for it, and we look to the miracle working God, all right, to supply you, all right? I'm not going to get you to stand up and all that. All you need to do with receiving from God is to be open and say, Lord, I don't understand, but sounds good. I want what she has.
Yeah. Thank you. And look, if you ever want to know more miracles, just come and see me. I got a long list of miracles that I've experienced in my lifetime. I will pray with you guys, absolutely, if you want to receive some of that, because, God wants to see that in your life too. I'm going to actually now invite Neil on up. No? No, Vi, you're going to pray. You want me to pray for everyone as well? Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
Not just for Neil, for everyone.
For everyone, yeah. Be expectant. Be expectant. Yeah, Holy Spirit, would you come now? Would you meet those needs right now that need changing, that sort of change in life that only you, Father God, can provide? Your miracle. We receive your miracle of life right now, whatever that need for life is, whether that is healing of bones, healing of guts that need a fresh lining, whether it is, Lord, healing of a broken heart, whether that is healing of just body structure, where something is not in its right place, where you designed it to be. Father, we welcome your miracles in this place. Yeah. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Would you come? Would you move? Would you release your miracles in this place today? Yeah. We expect from you, Lord, because we know you are a good, good Father, and you have only good things designed for us. You want to see us living our life the way you designed it to be. And so we receive that from you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Through his blood, Lord, through his blessing of life for us, we receive. Thank you, Lord.
That's good. Thanks. So talking about miracle, the next brother, a twin brother from a different mother. Come on, miracle man. If you got, 5 hours, Neil got long list of miracles too. But you don't have 5 hours, all right?
You're very kind. And so, yeah, we really want to celebrate God's goodness today. And, I'm very thankful to God the way he uses people to bless his church. And John Wimber, for me, is one of those people. And he's a recognised founder of the Vineyard movement of churches. And I feel very blessed that I was able to go to some of his conferences when he came out to Australia in the eastern states in the late 80s. He was always such a gentle guy. I mean, he was very well-rounded in biblical teaching. He taught at Bible College. He'd planted churches. But he was he had such a lovely, easygoing, conversational way about him whenever he spoke, and very humble, and had a team that he would work with that just loved each other. There was a beautiful love and humility and, always lifting up everyone else in the team. Something I hadn't really seen before. I hadn't been a Christian that long at the time, but very striking. And we talk about supernatural things. Can we go back to the John Wimber one, please? Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. Thank you. Very impressionable time. He would talk about things of the supernatural in such normal ways and well-rounded, biblical-based ways. I thought, well, this is the most logical and well-thought-out and the most obvious thing that we should be doing and the way that we should be living this kingdom life. So John Wimber brought a lot to the wider church as he talked and went around the globe. And one of the things was his teaching about the kingdom of God, that it's not just about reading about the goodness of God in Scripture, but it's about doing it as well. He was very profoundly impacted by the Gospels and what Jesus was doing and said, well, if Jesus is doing it and we're meant to be like him in this world, well, we should be doing it too. And it was always noted that whenever he shared the Bible, and it was very biblically based, when he finished sharing that, it wouldn't be the end for him. Then he would do what we now call a ministry time, which is seen in lots of other churches since then. He was a great musician and was a professional musician in a rock band before he got saved. He was actually going to be arranging and managing music in the Hollywood scene, but then got saved. Great musicianship. So he wrote songs. And again, he brought something very different to the church worldwide. Rather than songs about God, it was about singing to God, to Jesus, intimacy, love, expressing our hearts, because that's what God is seeking, our hearts. And he brought that to the church. He was very much of wanting to see what the Spirit was doing and going with that. And he was very much against any sense of denomination, because once you become a denomination, it's like you're stuck with your rules and your traditions. And he didn't want that. And he never wanted Vineyard to be a denomination, but always be a movement of churches, moving with what the Spirit is doing. And so for the local church then, we should never expect that things will be predictable necessarily. Not that we change things for change's sake, but we're always trying to listen out. What are you saying to us, Lord? What's important for us in our growth and for reaching out in the community that you've placed us in? We want to be a people of the kingdom. And when we're a people of the kingdom, then we should see kingdom stuff happening. And that's what we've been hearing about today. People being set free from the things that bind us, healing and deliverance, the lost being found and coming into the kingdom that they too would know the goodness of God. So as we consider who we are today, as we celebrate what God's been doing and will do, let's consider some verses. There's three scriptures I really want us just to look at together. The first one is from John. And John, John the Apostle writing this, and he talks about Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, who's a Pharisee, and who was keen to know what Jesus was all about. And Jesus was saying, you must be born again of the Spirit by faith, and by faith in who Jesus is and what he's done, so that you can be included in the kingdom of God and have eternal life. And Jesus explained to Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, sometimes when I explain to people what is the Holy Spirit like, I'll say, well, you know, you can't see the Spirit, but it's like the wind. You know, you can't see the wind, but you can feel its impact and you can see it moving. And so with this verse, sometimes I think it's really about the Spirit. But when you read it carefully, it's really about the people born of the Spirit. The Spirit is that, but it's the people who are born of the Spirit. That's what Jesus is highlighting here. Not about the Spirit, but us as we're born of the Spirit. So that means that our behaviour and our decisions as we're led by the Spirit won't actually always fit into the pattern of this world. It won't be predictable by worldly standards. Sometimes our responses might not be what anyone else would ever expect, because we're being influenced by the Spirit and guided by the Spirit in our lives. So that means for you right now, if you have non-Christian friends or family, or even Christian friends and family, they don't always get us either. They won't always agree or understand sometimes the decisions that you're making, because you're asking, Holy Spirit, what should I be doing now? And you can hear, as Neil has said, we're all made to hear the shepherd's voice. You might hear something from the Lord and do that, but not everyone's going to understand. And that's, so be okay with that. Be okay with that. Jesus' own family didn't always understand Jesus either. The Spirit will always be pointing us to Jesus and teaching us about Jesus, what he said, his character, and what he did. And always be leading us to be people, kingdom people, demonstrating, speaking and demonstrating what the kingdom looks like in our lives. Okay, so great. We want to be born again of the Spirit and be Spirit-led people. Let's look at this next verse. It's something interesting about Jesus that John the Baptist said. He talks about Jesus and he said, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, which is Jesus, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And in the book of Acts, we see the Spirit did come, didn't it? And rested on the disciples of Jesus as they gathered, waiting for this promised Holy Spirit. And tongues of fire, it's described, came upon them. And from that moment, the church was birthed with this fire, with this Holy Spirit fire. And Jesus is still building his church today. God's fire came, and the fire speaks to us of refining, getting rid of the stuff that hinders us, that isn't of God, of purity, and also the energizing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One of the songs today that Holy Holly led us in with King of Kings, it said, his spirit lit the flame in terms of birthing the church, that we have that fiery Holy Spirit in us. And I was reminded thinking about that, about, you know, when Jesus died, rose again, and the disciples walking along the road to Emmaus were so perplexed. Oh, Jesus just died. Oh, our world's fallen apart. And unknowingly, Jesus comes in their midst, doesn't he, and talks about what was said in the scriptures pointing to Jesus. And then in the evening, Jesus breaks bread with them, and then he disappears. And they realize, oh, it was the Lord. And didn't you recognize how strangely warm our hearts were when we spoke with him? That when there's the presence of God with us, our hearts are warmed, our hearts are set on fire. The Israelites in the desert were led by a pillar of fire. God's presence. We have God's presence in us. Our actions are fueled by God, his love. And John the Apostle writes a letter about God actually being love. He says, God is love. Wow, so we have this fiery love. So what is God's love like? So with that, we can look at the Song of Solomon, and that's all about lovers. The Song of Solomon, that passionate love. And it's great because it shows that God created it. He loves, love, passion. And he shows the earthly relationship of lovers. But it's not just for that, but to reflect, because what we do on earth reflects heavenly stuff. So that relationship with lovers is meant to show us the type of love that God wants to share with us. And so in this beautiful, almost poetic explanation of love from Song of Solomon, which says, for love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. The external forces there, the river, the water, cannot quench or drown love, and its value is greater than all the possessions one might ever possess. Love's demands on us are all-consuming like a fire. And this passage really shows us God's perspective of love. That it's strong, it's passionate, it's powerful. Love, God's love is so powerful. And so as we say yes to Jesus, put our faith in him, his spirit comes in us, and his presence comes to burn like a fire with God's passion in our hearts. God wants to set fires in us. He has set a fire in us. And it's our responsibility to see that that fire doesn't get quenched by distractions, by other loves. You know, Jesus came when he walked on the earth and he could see people's hearts and he spoke to that. When he met the Pharisees, he didn't have very nice things to say to them because he saw that a passion for Jesus just wasn't in their hearts. And he's looking into our hearts. Two, what's in our heart today? Is it Jesus? Is it a fiery, passionate, white-hot passion for Jesus? Because he's got a fiery, white-hot passion for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God has fashioned us in a way that we're meant to embrace receive and embrace this fiery, passionate love that he has for us. Are you experiencing that deep, fiery, passionate love for you? Sometimes we might feel we're not worthy or worth it, but it's not up to us. God's already decided that you are. And so your response and responsibility is to open up your heart to Jesus and say, yes, I love you, Lord. I receive what you have for me. You paid such a huge price that I get to experience this beautiful love that transforms me from the inside out. Let Jesus woo you. Woo is an old word, isn't it? Woo you. Entice you into his loving presence today. And then as we burn with passion, we get to share it with others. How wonderful that, you know, as God has set a fire in our hearts, he wants us to set fires in the hearts of others. God wants to constantly capture our hearts. So we want to bring other people into that process too. And so as we move forward, as we go out, let's think about, how do I make a heart connection with people? You know, when we want to influence people for Jesus, sometimes if we just talk about what we think is the gospel or the good news, that we can sometimes just get into an argument because it's all we're just connecting with their head knowledge, aren't we? And they've got arguments about why whatever we're saying isn't right. But if we can share what's in our heart, what's burning in our heart, this love for Jesus that makes us love this person, wow, we connect on a whole different level. We go beyond that superficial brain stuff, and we need to have a reasonable argument or understanding of our faith to share, but we also need to share that heart, and that cuts through. You know, when you do something for someone who feels so unloved or whatever it might be, that speaks so much louder than any words that you might say at that time. So let's look at ways that we can make real heart connections with other people, that they may come to know this amazing, fiery love of the Father that he has for us. So as I look over these last 8 years, I'm so thankful for you and for the Lord and how he's been growing us. And I'm thankful for the way that he's grown us in faith and in understanding and in community and being moulded. And, you know, as we want to be this Spirit-led people, and I think we've been pretty good at, you know, we're pretty good at that, I think. You know, we've had to make lots of changes and people have been able to go with that. And, you know, that's never going to change if we want to be Spirit-led people. And so that means we have to sort of always be willing to hold things a little bit loosely about maybe how things are done or who's doing what, because God's always moving and changing and growing us in different ways. And so he might be moving people around in different positions and places. We might move to different positions and places, but that's okay as we move together. And I can see that our growth, you know, in the past too has been facilitated by some of the things that we focused on. I remember we focused on emotional, healthy spirituality, and we did that for quite a while. And Mark John led a study with that in his home, and that's quite a pivotal understanding. We've still got lots of books about that. I think we should reignite that one, because that really helps to understand who we are from the inside out, and increases our self-awareness, our God awareness, a sense of understanding who we are, security in that, and then a willingness to be vulnerable and transparent with our brothers and sisters. And I think Neil really drew that out too, about willingness, because when we do that, then we're really travelling with each other in authentic ways, not just this surface stuff. That doesn't really get us anywhere. And other things like the School of Kingdom Ministry, that really helps to understand hearing God's voice for yourself. Whoa! Now that just blows the top off any experience if you feel like that's not happening for you. That's really instrumental, hearing God's voice and growing in skills and the ways of the kingdom, which has been great. Team ministries, which have started this year again, has been great, and I want to see that growing. And that sense of belonging, sense of community that we're always wanting to grow in, the family camp is absolutely fantastic for that. So if you haven't registered, please see Melanie today. You don't have to pay for a long time yet. If you can't afford it, that's fine. But we need to have your registrations in because there's a really strict cutoff point. Be there. Come along. Allow your lives to be sown into by other brothers and sisters in the presence of God as he leads us all. And that sense of family is really so valuable. As I think about, you know, being led by the Spirit, we want to do that, don't we? Some people capture that idea and think, oh, I can hear from the Spirit now. I'm fine on my own, thanks very much. I don't need to ask anyone else or tell anyone else about what's going on in my life, because I can talk to Jesus and, you know, the Spirit's talking to me. That's a big downfall. We need each other. We are interconnected. We're meant to always be interdependent of one another. We are the body of Christ. So please, can I encourage us all, if ever you're making a big decision in your life, please don't make it on your own. That's why we're in family. Use the family. You know, trust that we actually want the best for you. You know, if you come to Toa and I, we don't want to stifle your growth. We want you to be the best, wonderful, unique individual that God's made you to be, because no one's like you, which is fantastic. But you are a part of a family, which is God's intent for you. So we would only want to pray and come alongside, as would other leaders and other trusted people within this fellowship. I would feel safe talking to many of you about what's going on, because I know you want the best for me. And so please, let's be family in those situations. So looking ahead, let's be fire starters. Let's have God, we have a fire in our hearts, learn ways, encourage others that we keep fanning into flame that fire that God's already set in our hearts. And let's see it happen in people who don't have a fire yet. Let's show them. And the fire is lit with the flame of God's fiery love. And we do that with our values of AFL, of accepting and forgiving and loving. We accept everyone, don't we, no matter where they're at, because God loves them. And as we do that, we will influence our community and we will impact nations as we go out with the Lord's love firing in our hearts. So, God has sparked a fire in us. So let's be a people that spark fire in others. God has captured our hearts. So let's find multiple ways of seeing this fire let loose in the lives of others. Amen. So let's have the worship team come back up. Let me just pray as they come.